Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, brought to you by the Desai Group. The Desai Group, getting the real work of innovation done. Visit them on the web at desai.com, D-E-S-A-I.com. The High Velocity Radio Show is where we celebrate innovative professionals producing better results in less time. Produced and directed by Lee Cantor and brought to you live from the Radio X studio in Atlanta, Georgia. Now here's your host, Stone Payton.
And good morning. This is guest host Stephanie Lloyd sitting in this morning for Stone Payton while he continues his family vacation adventures this week.
That's pretty impressive, that vacation of his.
I know. He's got the life, right? I kind of feel like I've got a new full-time job over here.
I know. You're here weekly now. Is this the end, or are you doing next week, too?
I have yet to hear if I'm asked back, so we'll see.
All right.
So, Lee, we've got a couple of guests that you have not yet met in the studio with us this morning.
No, they're new to me.
Yes.
But not new to you.
Not new to me. So, we have Miriam Salpeter, owner of Kepi Careers, and Jenny Devon, a senior talent consultant with Talent Connections. And so, good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
I'm so excited to have you guys here.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yes, likewise. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thanks. So, Miriam, tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Stephanie. I'm delighted to be here. Like you said, my business is called Kepi Careers, and I, as the owner and career coach with over 12 years of experience, my job is to encourage, enlighten, and empower job seekers for success. And you might ask how I do that.
I was just going to ask
so
that.
So thank you very much for asking. Well, one thing is I'm very proud of my well-regarded career advice blog, which is at kepicareers.com. And I've been quoted in the Wall Street Journal and Forbes and abcnews.com and a lot of other media outlets there. So I'm really proud of my blog, and I invite all of the listeners to take a look at kepicareers.com. Additionally, I also work with job-seeking clients to encourage, enlighten, and empower them by helping them transform their resumes, their LinkedIn profiles, and coach them to use the kind of social media tools that we're going to talk about today to propel their careers forward. The fact is that it's not a come-as-you-are job market anymore, and sitting home and sending out 100 resumes and expecting a positive result is really a thing of the past. So I work with clients to make sure that they're using the tools that are available to them to demonstrate their expertise.
Well, and you touched on something, which I know we'll get into today, but helping job seekers learn how to use social media. And I know that's a big mystery for a lot of people. So next I want to introduce Jenny Devon.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me, Lee.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Hopefully Stone's having a wonderful vacation right now. But anyway, yes, I'm Jenny Devon, and I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia. I work as an executive recruiter and social media enthusiast for Talent Connections, and also our sister company, Career Spa, an outplacement firm. And it's my pleasure to help candidates and our clients alike learn how to use social media to market themselves, also market their businesses for lead generation and or talent management. And it's really been busy and hectic for the last 6 months. I've been going to Google in California. Stephanie and I are going to Toronto in September.
That's right, for Recruit Fest.
Exactly. I'm going to the ERE Expo this fall in Florida. So there's lots of activity in social media because it is a free resource.
Right.
And such a powerful resource to market yourself.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I have a company called Radiant Veracity, and I also work in the talent space, specifically focused around social media, both helping job seekers use it, you know, as a way to market themselves and network and find a job, and then also helping companies learn how to integrate social media, a strategy for talent acquisition. So with that said, I think people might find it interesting how we met. And I met both of you separately on Twitter, and then was able to make an introduction to you two, I think, within the last couple of months. So it's kind of neat to all be here today and have that come full circle. So Miriam, tell us a little bit about how you got started. I know you're very active on Twitter and with your blog. How did you kind of get started in this space?
Well, when I decided to launch my business online, I knew that getting out and connecting with people would be the best way to get the word out. And so I started authoring a blog, which turned into a really great way to connect with a lot of different people, and was able to also then get on Twitter and connect with lots of different colleagues and clients, and really get together with people who I never in a million years would have met otherwise. Right. And I think that's one of the most amazing things about Twitter is the opportunity to connect and be in touch with people that you never bump into in a more typical setting.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think the three of us are a very good example of that. Here we all are working in Atlanta, in and around the very same space, with a lot of the same ideas and we would not have met, I don't think. I mean, maybe at some point, Jenny, we might have met at a conference one of these days or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. But, you know, fortunately it happened sooner, and now we're actually track leaders mm-hmm. for social media at RecruitFest coming up in September. So, pretty neat. So, Jenny, how did you get started in the space?
Basically, we got started using social media to find candidates.
Okay.
So much like when you were working with the big four
right.
CPA firms and things like that, you know, you were using social media to find talent. It was a way to discover new pools of talent.
Right. That's exactly how I got started as well.
That weren't sending their resume into CareerBuilder or Monster. That could not be found any other way.
Right. We call that passive candidate sourcing.
Exactly.
Do you still use it in that manner?
I don't, because I'm not doing recruiting anymore, but Jenny does.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Joshua Kahn from Best Buy says it best, you know, you're discovering your communities. You're not building your communities anymore.
Right.
You're discovering where they are.
So how do you do that? How do you find that diamond in the rough out there?
Basically, if I was looking for an accounting person, for example, I might now go through the CPA professional organizational group, but instead of having to actually go to a meeting in person, which is what I would love to do eventually, I can do research online, find their forum, find their message boards, find out what they're talking about, find out their pains, find out who's hiring, and also see the leaders and the connectors within that group. Because in any social media group, 1% of the people are actually creating the content.
Right.
They're actually developing the content and putting it out there. Those aren't the people that want your job probably, but they know a lot of people that might.
Right.
And then 9% of us are, you know, forwarding it on to other people or tweeting about it or sending it on to other blog boards or reblogging it ourselves.
How do you reach out to them?
I definitely do my research about them online. One of the greatest resources I like to use is people.com. It's PIPL.com. Mm-hmm. And PIPL.com is a free resource. You can plug in anyone's username. You can plug in their email address. You can plug in their actual name or phone number, whatever you have. It will pull up all the content they've ever posted.
Wow.
Online. It'll pull up blog comments, their YouTube photos and videos, their Facebook usernames. It'll pull up all this information for free. And then when I get that information, then I reach out to them. So I'll say, I might give them a call because they'll have their number, and they'll say, well, how'd you find me? I said, well, I found you via LinkedIn, or I found you via Facebook.
Right.
Or I found you via the CPA forum, right. The most professional related group out of them.
Right.
And really reach out to them in a genuine way to connect with them. And then when I do reach out, I pay it forward. I try to help them first.
Right.
You know, and you bring up a good point. We talk about Googling yourself, but I actually like to also go on to people.com just so I can, again, you know, I like to control and manage what's out there, and I encourage other people to do the same. So if you haven't yet been on people.com, again, it's PIPL.com, you might want to put your name and your email address in and see what comes up.
Vanity searches are so important, Stephanie. I completely agree.
Yeah. And I have Google alerts set up for things. Like,
what do you do if something bad's there?
Basically, if something bad's there, I would contact the administrator. So I had a candidate, unfortunately, that had the same name as a death row inmate.
Right.
And it was on some legal website, and it was literally coming in the best real estate in Google, which is the first page.
Right.
And his LinkedIn profile was coming up on the second page.
Oh, that's not
so
good.
So I said, contact, because you can't go to Google and ask them to pull it off. They won't. Once right. they index it, they don't care.
Right. It's done.
So you go to the website administrator. So he did. He went to the website administrator, contacted that person and said, you know, I'm going through an active job search right now. When it's completed, I have no problem with you reposting, you know, your information about that specific legal case. But right now that's impeding my job search. And, you know, it's impeding it. And so they went to that person, and of course they took it down for a temporary period right. of time. And then they reposted it when he found a job.
Now, some people that have common names, do they have to kind of rebrand themselves a little bit just so that they stand out? Like Stephanie, you're Stephanie A. Lloyd.
Correct.
I would imagine.
Yes.
Because there's somebody already has Stephanie Lloyd.
Yes, there are actually multiple, and mm-hmm. I don't want to get into the detail of what I found, but yes, it is branding. And that's actually something we wanted to talk about today, is branding. And I think, you know, we use the term personal branding a lot, And quite honestly, I think there are a lot of people that are confused about that or really just have no idea what that means. So, you know, I guess, Miriam, how would you define, if someone just said to you, what are you talking about? Personal branding, what is that?
Well, personal branding is, I think a lot of people think of that as some kind of, you know, general term that doesn't really mean anything. They say, I'm not a brand, I'm a person. Or, you know, as you mentioned, someone you recently interacted with said, you know, I'm not a brand, I just need a job. And I think what people don't realize is that the fact is that you are a brand just because people will view and think of you in a certain way. And so personal branding at its very root is just about how you market yourself and share information about yourself to the rest of the world. And I think one of the things that is really superb about using online tools to help brand yourself is the opportunity to define what Google says about you. For example, if you blog and tag your blogs with your name, it's very easy to push down the names of other people who have similar names to you or the same name, and for you to wind up on page one results for Google. So it's using social media as a way to actually control the way that Google is seeing you, and therefore how the rest of the world sees you. I think a lot of people think, you know, how you are in Google is how you are in life. So it's important to manage that, and social media is a great way to do that.
So how do you go about helping job seekers brand themselves when you're working with them?
Well, number one, it's important for job seekers to know what it is they have to offer. And I like to teach them to, once they figure out what it is they'd like to do, to take charge of using LinkedIn in a really optimized way. And Twitter is a big favorite of mine in terms of being able to reach out and connect with other people. I think a lot of people think of using online tools mainly to look for job opportunities in terms of just a way to look for job postings or to follow people who post positions. I think really that Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook are much more useful when the job seeker or the entrepreneur thinks of it as a way to connect and build relationships. And that, I think, there's no better way than LinkedIn, or excuse me, there's no better way than Twitter to connect with people you otherwise wouldn't meet in an informal way and have an opportunity to build a relationship that could very well lead to something more. Ultimately, if a specific job is your target, could certainly lead to a job, but more likely is to lead to a relationship that has positive outcomes.
Right.
I have an interesting point that I think that none of you have mentioned, like monster.com, ajcjobs.com. How come those aren't in the loop here in the mind, you know, what should be high in the mind of the job seeker?
Well, I actually am a partner in a job board called greatplacejobs.com. And what we do is we aggregate and post positions from award-winning organizations. So I'm not totally against job boards by any means, but certainly I wouldn't recommend my clients to rely on a job board as their first means of seeking an opportunity. In fact, I advise people to look for an organization and to connect with people rather than to actually look for a specific position.
Now, is that kind of a paradigm shift for the, you know, newly unemployed? Do they think, oh, I'll just post on these different boards and then I'm done?
I would say that definitely is something that many of my clients do. This is where I say sitting home and sending, you know, zapping out 100 resumes to monster.com is certainly not applying to 100 jobs. So I think it definitely is something that is an old-fashioned paradigm. I don't know if my colleagues here would agree.
I would agree. I think in years past, if I was a job seeker, I would post to Career Builder, Monster, any job board, and I'd post and pray. Post my resume and pray that somebody was going to call me. That's not the way the world's working. As a recruiter from the third party side, it's very expensive to have a license to Monster. Mm-hmm. And we can't afford those resources right now. And why would I pay thousands and thousands of dollars to have access if I'm not a large corporation, which I think is really effective to use Monster, to find candidates, if I can use free methods to do that?
Well, and I don't know about you, Jenny, but I know my experience in the past, I did try Monster when I first started on the third party side of the business. And it didn't take me long to realize I never wanted to post an ad again, because that hundreds, if not thousands, of resumes that you get bombarded with, you have to sit and go through every one of them. And if I had two out of a pile of hundreds that even met the minimum qualifications, it was a good day. And I found that it was, for me, it was much more beneficial to start using proactive targeted sourcing methods. And there are some ways that you can do that with Monster or with some of the big boards. But I found LinkedIn and other social media platforms were just gave me a lot more information. Also, the people that I was targeting, which was usually director level and up, that's where I could find them. They weren't on Monster.
They're not on Monster. And I think if you are a recruiter, you're looking for a specific niche. So back to my CPA example, you know, I would rather go to a CPA's professional organization's job board site to post a job today and pay that money than pay the money to go to Monster, where I'm going to get a cachet of candidates that unfortunately are not qualified for the job.
Right.
The other important point about LinkedIn and Twitter for job seekers versus the job boards is that the passive job seekers are much more desirable to most people who are looking for jobs. Unfortunately, this is the case because obviously, people who are actively in a job hunt would prefer to be thought of as qualified candidates and be sought by recruiters and human resources. However, the research shows that a lot of people would rather recruit someone who is currently employed. So LinkedIn is the number one source of what we call passive job seekers, and that is people who aren't posting their resumes to CareerBuilder or Monster. And these people are potentially currently employed, but may be willing to consider a new opportunity.
Well, I think that's an important point that you make. And, you know, I think that could be frustrating for a lot. There are a lot of really talented, highly skilled and educated unemployed people right now in this country. And so while that may sound discouraging, I think we all, to that end, work with job seekers to help them effectively network and connect and conduct a search. You don't have to scream, "I'm desperate, I'm unemployed, I need a job." In fact, I don't recommend that.
Absolutely.
A better approach is be busy. Have something that you're doing that you're excited about that's relevant to your field. That
volunteer.
Gives you volunteering, other opportunities that can give you ways to connect and meet people. You know, and that's networking, let's face it. That is the number one way to get a job.
Yes. Obviously, the hidden job market or the jobs that aren't posted are the ones that the most successful job seekers find via networking and are able to land successful and, the types of opportunities that they really are seeking.
What would you recommend to somebody? Say they work for a company, and like you said, that those are the people that recruiters want are people who have jobs. What would be a strategy they could employ, like on LinkedIn, to make a recruiter notice them?
What I would do is really manage your own keyword search. So, for example, when a recruiter is going to look for an HR manager in Atlanta, Georgia, they're going to type in into LinkedIn, HR manager Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
You want to make sure you're speaking a general language in your summary. So you want to sprinkle it with words like HR, human resources, manager, senior, compensation, organizational development, all your functional areas in your field. Also, in your summary, talk about yourself in the third person. It makes it seem like someone else wrote it, even though you wrote it yourself.
Right.
So people will say, "Well, I loved your LinkedIn profile. I hope so. I wrote it." So I think talking about yourself in the third person, also with the LinkedIn people search, not to get too complicated, but to get the best real estate on LinkedIn, it's done by keyword relevance and by number of recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure you're getting recommendations from your former supervisors, colleagues on LinkedIn. They all count as a little thumbs up, which is a recommendation symbol on LinkedIn. So if someone typed in HR manager Atlanta, you might have all the right keywords, but you may be behind all those other people with 20, 10, or even 5 right. recommendations.
But in some companies, they don't, obviously you work for a big corporation. How do you kind of do that in a way that doesn't kind of get you in trouble with your company?
Good point. On LinkedIn, you can choose to make your recommendations visible or not. There's mm-hmm. privacy settings. So I would click not visible, but you still get counted for the thumbs up.
Uh-huh.
So people can actually view them on your profile, but LinkedIn will count them when you're doing the people search.
Right. So your company wouldn't see them necessarily.
They would not know. And then also on every single company page, that's a valid company page on LinkedIn, at the bottom of the page, there's 4 to 5 most popular profiles.
Mm-hmm.
And that is done. I talked to the co-founder of LinkedIn, actually Reid Hoffman, when I was at Google. And asked him, how is that determined? How is your profile determined? Is it by the number of invitations you've accepted that day? Is it by the number of views your profile has? It's only by clicks.
Wow.
So you could tell everybody in your neighborhood, hey, go visit my LinkedIn profile. And you can, if you worked for UPS and you want to come up to the top of that page, right. That's important.
How long does it keep you there? Just as long as
you're... I think it's as long as you're getting the most views. Right. I don't know when it resets, but...
That's good tips. Right.
Now, Jenny, I know you have been doing, obviously you spend a lot of time recruiting, but you've also been doing some training, I understand, for social media. Tell us about that.
It's been so exciting because I think now in companies, I'm seeing the marketing and sales teams and the recruiting teams partner together. You do not have this diva mentality like that client is mine, you cannot touch it. It's more like this client is ours. We want our company to survive this economy. We have to work together. So they're going in the same places. They're going to visit the same communities to find the same decision makers, to share the same best practices, to attract the same talent to their organization, to either sell their product and services or to find people to hire.
Okay. That's really interesting.
So I walk in there and basically show them how to, like Maren was saying, brand themselves online from a company perspective, but also from an individual perspective. So if something like Twitter, if you have a company like 11 Alive News, I recommended that they use connecttweet.com. It's connecttweet.com. And basically with connecttweet.com, you can have the 11 Alive company page and one reporter can tweet. And if they add a specific hashtag, not to get too technical here, we're talking advanced.
Okay, well now you need to explain hashtags.
Advanced Twitter, advanced Twitter technology. But basically a hashtag is the number sign with the word with no spaces or characters that describes a topic, an idea, an event, like a conference, or something that's going on in the world. So they use the hashtag in their tweet of 140 characters, breaking 11 Alive News or 11 Alive News, which automatically puts that tweet in their company Twitter stream. And then at the end of it, it'll say via, you know, weatherman, via reporter, via, and it'll use the username of who put it in there. So you could tweet for 11 Alive News and with permission in their Connect tweet, get added to their company Twitter stream. So you'll see a variety of tweets from different functional areas. You might see a job posted. You might see an upcoming event they have. You might see breaking news. You might hear about a new hire they've made.
So now, is this like Yammer or is it different?
It's different because it's in Twitter. Yammer is more of instant messaging within a company.
Right. So Yammer, if, for those of you who haven't seen or heard of it, Yammer is it's almost like an internal Twitter, just like you might have, say, internal instant messaging. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain exactly what the difference is. It has more. One difference is it's public. When you're instant messaging with a person, it's just between the two of you. And Yammer is a way to communicate a thought or ask a question and pitch it to your entire company.
To me, Yammer is more of a group chat room within a corporation.
Right.
Twitter, you're posting things publicly. Right. In your company stream for everyone to see. And Best Buy does a phenomenal job of it. And so does 11 Alive News. If you Google them and get their Twitter profile and watch how they're using Connect Tweet, it's amazing.
So Jenny, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people making when they are getting started on social media?
I always follow HubSpot and I would recommend it. HubSpot.com, HubSopt.com, because they have a bunch of free resources, archive webinars. They are the leaders of teaching people how to brand for free. But I always recommend that you do not sell. And
tell us more about
back
that.
To your point, you do not sound desperate.
Right.
So when I'm on Twitter and I see somebody, I had somebody that is launching a book next week for Lehman Brothers. It's going to be an amazing book. But every single tweet he had was, check out my book, buy my book, buy my book, buy my book. And I love this person like a brother. So I called him up and I said, Larry, I really like you. I think you're bigger than this book, but I want you to X out of your Twitter page and go to it and look at it. And when he looked at it, he said, oh my goodness, all I'm tweeting is buy my book. And he said, exactly. And that's what people
and
are
who
viewing
wants to
you
read that all day?
As a spammer.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was, I mean, it was a horrific, light bulb went off in his head. And since then, he's probably the most creative Twitterer that I know on the financial side. His username is @LarryMcDonald. Dynamic person, has a great book about Lehman Brothers coming out. Everyone should get it. But he looked at that and said, wow, I've turned into a spammer. And I think that's interruption media. HubSpot teaches you, we have so many things to block spam now. We have do not call registry lists. We have TiVo, so we can forward through every commercial. We have spam lists now. We do not want to be interrupted in our daily
right.
lives.
That's right.
So that's one of the biggest pitfalls, I think, for any right. social media.
So you have to have kind of a longer term view of how you are in the world, right?
This is not probably professionally correct, but Kevin Wheeler in our recruiting industry said, are you looking for a one night stand or a marriage?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be looking for that marriage, that long term commitment.
Right. Yeah. It's like when you're dating, you can't just go to a bar and go, will you marry me? Will you marry me? Will you marry me? You know,
why not? Yeah.
I say that to my husband. I literally recruited him off Match.com. Right. And if he would have came to our first date and said, I'll marry anybody that asks
right,
me first.
First one in.
Right,
you know.
Right. The other thing that is key with all of this is to demonstrate your expertise. And Twitter is a wonderful way to demonstrate that you're plugged into your industry, that you have your hand in what's going on, that you're on top of things, and that you understand what's important. And I think that can work for job seekers to be out there demonstrating their expertise in terms of with the goal of looking for a specific job. And it's fabulous for entrepreneurs and business owners to be out there demonstrating that they're the go-to person in their field for information about whatever is their specific topic.
How do you do that without sounding like you're bragging or selling? Like, can you give an example? Like, say you're an accountant. What would be things you could tweet that would show that you're an expert and that you're not selling and you're available?
You might talk about a project that you're working on or maybe an accomplishment, you know, depending on what type of project it is. You know, you might say, wow, so excited. We just wrapped up a project where we were able to increase efficiency by 25% or something like that. I mean, something that is interesting and intriguing and shows that you're doing something and seeing good results from it. And then naturally people, you know, might have an interest in finding out more. How'd you do that?
You could tweet about events that you're going to. Mm-hmm. You could tweet about articles you're reading, interesting blog posts you like. I would definitely keep it professionally focused. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't want to see the so what tweets. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see I'm in the line at Starbucks and it's taking forever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not Miley Cyrus here.
Right.
That's not how you're going to attract your audience. So I always look for things that if you find are engaging and not controversial. Also, introductions, you know, so if you were at Starbucks to meet Stephanie A. Lloyd, which is her Twitter handle, in your Twitter stream, I want to see having a productive meeting with at Stephanie A. Lloyd, you
right.
know, talking over, you know, the financial outlook of, you know, Atlanta for 2010. I want to see something related to you
so
and who
you
are.
So you should be sprinkling in your keywords?
Keywords. I always say be other people's PR people on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The best way to get followers on Twitter is to add followers. Mm-hmm. And to promote other people
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and to show your generosity. Mm-hmm. You know, when somebody retweets something I say, which means they repeat the tweet that I just did mm-hmm. and they give me credit for it as being from my original idea,
right.
using my username, I always tweet them back. Show that you're a nice person. Show right. that you pay it forward.
Yeah, I think that Twitter epitomizes what I've always said, which is to what you throw out into the world is what you get back. And don't you find, I think on Twitter, while things don't typically happen overnight, at the same time, they do seem to happen very quickly. I think you'll both agree. You're both nodding your heads. Mm-hmm. I am amazed, actually, at the speed of how quickly things do happen when you make a connection with a person on Twitter. But it definitely is, I guess one of the things I love about Twitter and what some people might actually hate about it is it absolutely shines a spotlight on what you're doing. So that can be good. If you're promoting other people, engaging, sharing, and it can be bad if you're spamming because people pick up on that immediately and,
right.
and turn you off.
Right. I have a story that I like to share when I talk to people about why use Twitter, how can Twitter be useful. Keith Ferrazzi has a new book out. His first book was Never Eat Alone.
Right.
Never
right.
Eat Alone, which was a great book about networking and how to connect. And his new book is Who's Got Your Back, which is another terrific book. And Keith uses a hashtag to talk about his book online. And so I used his hashtag and tweeted something. And within minutes, I got a tweet directly from Keith, and I thought, wow, this would be a great opportunity to let Keith know that I would love to review his book for my blog. And so I mentioned that back to him by Twitter, and literally within seconds, I had his PR person contacting me, asking for my address to send the book. I had the local Atlanta people who work with Keith on his Greenlight community contacting me to hook me up with his event, and all just because of a tweet on Twitter. So I'm going to be posting a review of his book this week. But it's just a example of, in the old days, you might have tried to email somebody, or in the really old days, you might have tried to snail mail somebody, and you might have just like hoped that you might hear from somebody. But now you have the opportunity to connect with people directly and almost in person, and to hear back almost immediately in some cases.
Well, and don't you think Twitter kind of levels the playing field for all of us? This is, I feel like, the first time in our lifetime that we have the opportunity. I mean, the example that you just gave about Keith is phenomenal. And it gives us, I've had conversations on Twitter with Sanjay Gupta from CNN and Susie Orman and Sherry mm-hmm. Shepherd from The View. Where else can you do that?
Right.
You know, no, there's no other place. So Miriam, when job seekers contact you for help, what's the number one question that you get?
How can I find a job? Stephanie, why don't we talk about our series of job search interventions that we have coming up? And we're launching our website, which is called youneedajob.org, where we're going to be teaching job seekers how to use all the right tools to put together their job search in a way that doesn't make them feel like they're banging their head against the wall. What I like to tell people is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is not smart. What you need to do is look at what you're doing and change it if you want to expect a successful outcome.
That's right. And I know the first session that we're doing is on August 13th. It starts at 11:30 at Pizzeria Venti in Buckhead. We've got a private room with state-of-the-art technology.
And
lunch
a great
is included.
Place. It's a fabulous restaurant with a terrific gourmet pizza, and the people there are fabulous.
They are. But one of the things that I think is important, especially about that first session, that people will, we're keeping it to small groups, and it'll be highly interactive. So, very personal.
So they'll get a takeaway at the end of this?
They will. They'll actually leave, and they will be able to succinctly answer the questions, why are you looking for a job, and what do you want to do?
What do you want to do, exactly?
And Instead of that long pause.
Right. So many people aren't able to tell their own story. And I think that being able to tell your own story and make it succinct and what we call the pitch, the elevator pitch, the sound bite, that's key. And so many people overlook that. So that's one specific takeaway.
Right. And then
it's very key. It's really key. And even now more than ever, with Career Spa, when we teach people the 30-second pitch, I say it's a text message size now.
Mm-hmm. There you
you're
go.
Not even
140 characters, right?
You're not even going to get 30 seconds.
The twit pitch.
So you better have that nailed down. Mm-hmm. So it's good to, really give people that tool in their job search toolkit, because everything they do is going to be in vain.
That's right. And, this was, I actually blogged about this a couple of months ago. I participated by phone in a job search boot camp and with two coaches, actually, that I met via Twitter. So imagine that. And so I conducted, in a two-hour period, I conducted seven about 15-minute mock phone interviews, and then I gave feedback right on the spot. And I documented their answers as well as my feedback to provide it to the coaches so they could work with the job seekers on these issues. And by doing that, I discovered that 7 out of 7 times the bullet points were exactly the same. Mm-hmm. The only two questions I asked were, why are you looking and what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And only one person out of seven was able to answer those questions in a way that didn't completely confuse me mm-hmm. or have me falling asleep. Mm-hmm. You get these long-winded, well, I could do this or I could do that. Oh, and I can learn.
What do you need mm-hmm. me to do?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. I can do it all.
Right. I can do anything.
People give us too much credit. They mm-hmm. think I can read your mind.
Right.
Right.
And I can't.
Can't you tell?
And I can't look I can't look in that crystal ball for you and see what's coming down the pipeline. Wish I could.
Right. Technology is not quite that advanced. Well, I think that one of the key things that I hear often from people who come to me as new clients is if they knew that it would take so long to find a job, they would have sought help months ago.
While they were employed.
That's ideal. That's the ideal situation. Unfortunately, most people don't have the foresight for that. But the fact is there are a lot of things that people who are not professional job seekers, and no one wants to be a professional job seeker, what they don't know does hurt them.
Right.
And coming to people like us who have our hand in this world all the time, who know what are the trends and what are the methods that work, that really does propel their searches forward. And statistics show that people who have great materials, fabulous resume, and use all of these tools well do find opportunities even in a difficult market like this.
Yep, that's exactly right. So we have a series of four seminars. The first one starts August 13th, and then the next 3 weeks, what we're doing what we call deep dives.
Yeah, Stephanie calls them deep dives. I love that.
So you want to share a little bit about the deep dives?
Sure. We're going to be talking, 1 week, we're going to be going in-depth into LinkedIn. And since this is a small group, and Stephanie and I will be doing these together, we'll have two tracks if necessary. People who are new to LinkedIn, we can walk them right through. We have Wi-Fi in at our location, and really teach people how to optimize their presence on LinkedIn. And it's not just about putting up a profile and hoping someone will find you. So that's 1 week. Another week, we're going to be talking about Twitter. And same thing, we'll be able to walk people through what isn't necessarily a totally intuitive process. You know, Twitter seems at the surface like it might be easy to use, but you want to make sure you're using your time well. So we'll be teaching people how to create their profiles, how to tweet useful and interesting things, and how to really get the word out about their expertise and their subject.
Yeah, and how to connect with the right people, right?
Exactly. And I think, and how to find people to connect.
Right. You know, one of the things I know we'll spend some time on both for LinkedIn and Twitter is, you know, you can be your own headhunter, so to speak. And so you can use these tools if you apply the searches correctly, that you can, let's say you've got a list of target companies that you'd like to get your foot in the door. You can use these tools to find the right people and actually make real life connections with them. And let's face it, you know, when you reach out to other people and you offer your help, then they want to help you too.
Exactly.
And so we'll walk people kind of through that process.
And it's amazing how generous people are online. And I think people underestimate the importance of connecting with people they don't know, with what I call their loose network. And people who don't know you and will probably never meet you are really willing to go out of their way to help. And I think that's one amazing thing.
If you have the right approach.
That's right. Exactly.
If you have the right attitude, the confidence, and the right approach. You know, I always follow David Knorr, who's a relationship economics expert in Atlanta. And one of the things he talks about, are you a giver? Are you a taker? Are you a relationship investor?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be an investor. I want to do both give and take.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's right. So, Jenny, you and I have some events coming up as well.
Yes, we have lots of exciting events.
Fill everybody in.
One of the most exciting things we have is Recruit Fest in Toronto. And to be slated to do the social media part of Recruit Fest 09 was just an honor.
I know.
Stephanie and I were just like, yeah, tweeting does get you somewhere in life.
That's right.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. We're actually getting results from what we're telling other people to do, too.
Wow.
So we get to do the unconference theme.
So I think we're called track leaders. Is that right?
We're track leaders. It's going to be great. If you can go up to Toronto or you're in that area, please do. If you have folks in the recruiting sect or even the social media sect, I think you'll learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
From this conference. We also have...
That's RecruitFest 09. The website is recruitfest.com.
Yes.
And then the hashtag on Twitter, if you want to follow and learn more, is recruit. It's, you know, the pound sign and then RecruitFest 09.
Correct. And so we have that coming up. I think, you know, one of the great things that Stephanie does, and sometimes she needs to toot her horn a little bit more, is she just had the first Atlanta Chicks tweet up. And that was really successful.
That was last week, right?
That was Thursday night at the St. Regis Hotel. It was amazing. We had over 85 women. And again, keep in mind, this is an event that I co-hosted with Stephanie Frost, who is at SW Frost, and then Rachel Rose, who's at Rachel Writer. We organized that event entirely on Twitter, and we were able to get 85 pretty high-powered professional women together on the patio at the St. Regis Hotel, and we just, it was a 2.5-hour event of just really power networking. And I have to tell you, that event, I mean, I think this speaks a lot to the power of Twitter. people at that event, I mean, most of us maybe knew one or two other people there. We all met on Twitter one way or another at one point or another. And but the way that those women went about networking that evening was so impressive. I would just kind of stand off to the side and observe. And no fear. People, you know, walk in by themselves, have never met anybody. They just heard about it and thought it'd be neat and show up. But people just embraced each other and just, it was like being on Twitter, but in real life. It was really incredibly amazing. And I've been to a lot of networking events, and you just don't see.
It's very inspirational, the group that we have in Atlanta, I think. And on Twitter, what's great is you already feel like you kind of know the person.
Right.
So
you do.
I had been following, stalking, but I'd been following Stephanie for a long time. You know, she was ATL recruiter. She was branded this way. I felt like I knew her from what she put out.
You did.
You know, I could tell when she was having a good day or a bad day. You know, I could feel the energy from those tweets. And so when I go into an event and I see someone like Taryn P., you know, I saw her at the Help a Reporter Out tweet up. Mm-hmm. And I recognize you from your avatar. You know, I see, I met Jill Hynek. I meet a bunch of people that way. Her Twitter name is Jay Hynek. She's the relocation expert in Atlanta. You know, I meet a lot of people online that normally sometimes I wouldn't want to tweet up with. But then in Atlanta, we're lucky there's a lot of leaders,
right.
You know, I would say best practices experts, industry innovators. They're not just imitators here.
Right.
And it's so nice to see them all in one room. Yes, you're not a Twitter robot. Yeah. You're actually a real person.
Well, Atlanta has one of the biggest active Twitter users in the world, I think.
Why do you think that is, Lee?
I think because it's such a transient city that people are, you know, no one's really from here. So we're all looking for ways to connect in different ways.
That's what, and don't you guys find, kind of going back to this idea of people, don't you guys find that people really are in real life who they are on Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah. And I was at a tweet up 2 weeks ago, and just an example of, I mean, this really, talk about shining a spotlight on something. I met someone, well, she introduced herself to me, and I had not met her. I wasn't following her. But she approached me at the tweet up, and she cornered me and started just pitching her product to me that she sells. And I couldn't get a word in edgewise if I tried, but I now know everything there is to know, I think, about her products. But it did not make me, it was not an approach that made me want to go buy these products. It was an approach that made me think.
Desperate.
Yes. And can I have some room to breathe, please? You know? And I thought, this is not someone that I want to follow on Twitter, because I know, I don't even have to look at her Twitter account. I know that the way she approaches Twitter is the way she just approached me here. And it was like spam, but in real life.
Right. And, you know, I think that this is something that both job seekers and business owners need to recognize, is that there are better ways to network. And Stephanie and I often talk about this, that people who network well in person are the same people who network well online. But I think that it is possible to teach people how to do these things better, for better success, both in looking for a job and in selling your business.
Right. And I think, you know, back to this example, I think a better approach would have been for her to introduce herself. And when you introduce yourself, ask about the person. Right. People like to talk about themselves. Right. And so get them engaged in conversation and be a good listener. And then, you know, then be an interesting person. And then naturally, at some point, someone's going to ask, what do you do? And then that's your entree. But you have to, people want to buy from people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's more of the mentality. I think all of us in the room get it. It's, how can I help you versus what can you buy from me, or how can you help me?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's much more of a pay it forward approach. And if you don't know how to pay it forward, go to the job search intervention. Another good resource would be netweaving.com. Mm-hmm. Bob Littell, mm-hmm. master net weaver, knows how to pay it forward. He's actually on the board for the official pay it forward professional approach. He went to the author of the book and said, I want to know more. And so they partnered up together. But definitely think about those things. If you don't know those things, we're so lucky in Atlanta. There's so many people that will offer their help to you for free.
Right. Show up at one of the events.
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
Now, Jenny, we have another event in the works for 2010.
Yes, we do have a great event for 2010. It's going to be like a social media. I'm calling it the social media mecca, but social media mecca, all things recruiting, marketing, all in one in Atlanta. And we're really excited about it. We're actually going to partner with SHRM National, hopefully SHRM Atlanta's local chapter, which I'm EVP of member benefits for. And then also on a national level, I'm really bringing the leaders of social media, recruiting, marketing, hopefully here in Atlanta to network, tweet up, you name it. I think what we can bring in Atlanta as far as industry leaders is second to none, unless you're in Silicon Valley.
Right. You know, and we were talking about, we're still working on securing our keynote speaker, but you know, we have CNN right here in Atlanta that, particularly Rick Sanchez, he kind of kicked off the whole social media, the interactive journalism for CNN, which of course is taken off now on other stations. So yeah, I think Atlanta's a great place to have the event, and it'll be fun to get everybody here in one spot.
Absolutely. We're partnering with ERE on that and a lot of other recruiting groups and corporate sponsors as well. We also, I'm going to be part of a Windows 7 launch release party coming up. So, and I am actually going to be speaking next week at SHRM Atlanta's Northwest Gem on social media best practices and also their fall conference. So anyone I know in the professional world in Atlanta, if they're not in social media, they're definitely interested in it.
Or they will be by the time you're done with them. So, well, this has really been fun. Thank you guys both so much for coming in here this morning. And Lee, I hope we weren't too hard on you this morning.
No, you guys were great. Great information. I mean, if you're looking for a job, you got to listen to this.
Follow at Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, Devon, D-E, V as in Victor, A-U-G-H-N, or?
You can find me at KepiCareers.com, K like kangaroo, E-P-P-I-E, careers.com, and on Twitter at Kepi_careers.
That's right. And this is Stephanie Lloyd. You can find me at Stephanie A. Lloyd on Twitter. So thanks, you guys. And
Lee,
great
what's your
show.
Handle? I know you're on
Lee
Twitter.
Cantor, K-A-N-T-O-R.
Yep.
Great.
Well, Lee, thanks so much for having us this morning.
Oh, you guys were great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Tweet on.